I'm talking burnout in this hour and chronic stress. Statistics show that burnout is very common and work-related depression is affecting 3 to 33% of the total working population in Western countries and the UAE. I welcome back to the show Dr. Matzer, neuropsychologist at German Neuroscience Centre in Dubai Healthcare City. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
And welcome back.
Yes.
So you've been in the Netherlands. Were you in the Netherlands?
Yes, I'm here two weeks in a month and 2 weeks in the Netherlands. And we are carrying out programs on people who have a never-ending fatigue or have some problems with their thoughts that they... and we're setting up now the practice here in Dubai. And I'm very okay with it.
You're happy about it. Excellent. Well, last time we spoke, we were talking about your work. You've done a lot of work with, you know, football clubs, FIFA, Chelsea FC. You've worked with renowned coach Jose Mourinho. And we were talking about talent and gifted and, you know, recognising that kind of talent in the young or even older and how to harness it and manage it. And interlinked with that conversation, we touched on how sometimes people in high-performance areas suffer from depression. Now, today we're talking about burnout. We're talking how that can apply to anybody. But what is burnout and that connection with what we're really talking about here is a form of depression?
Susan, for first, I would like to explain that burnout had nothing to do with how many hours you work. It is more a disconnection between what you're really passionate about and what you really want to do in life. When this disconnection takes for a long time, you feel sad, you will develop signs, your immune system is going down, you have more colds, you're feeling like you have the flu, or you memorize things worse. It is a combination, and this is building up for months. And then you only can wait till you hit the wall. And when you hit the wall, it goes at once, boom. And then you are knocked out. And then you're really knocked out for some weeks, months. And it can be very cruel to your career. But it has nothing to do with the amount of hours you are working.
Really? Is that the case? Because I'm sure if I spoke to a clinical psychologist, they'd be saying burnout is a form of stress and therefore a form of depression. And one of the contributing factors to that might be working hard, having a lot on, working long hours.
When you work long hours and you don't like it, then you are in the hit zone. I work with the best piano players in the world, with people who are really capable of doing something on a very talented level, and they are never burned out. They follow their desire. A friend of mine, Andre Gallo, he has to play now 20 concerts in 30 days. Can you imagine what kind of stress this is? He travels to the United States, but he loves it. And when he's on his bed, he has the tiredness like he was chopping wood for the whole day, and he can sleep. But he's not pondering about negative issues. And he is energetic when I call him. He has plans. He wants to do something for the future. So he has a tomorrow. When you have a burnout, you don't have a tomorrow. You only want to sleep.
Where does this term come from, burnout? What's the background to this?
I think it is the never-ending fatigue, which is the most common.
But I mean, just historically, we'll get to that, but, you know, within science and the sort of terminology, where does
it stem
from?
Actually, it's not so very old, Susan. We started to really look at it in the 70s. It's not something like, for example, the work of Freud, in which you look at anxiety, and later on Carl Rogers. It's not this development. It is only in the 70s when the package of symptoms were described, and then later on there were really some very good scientific lines on that. And what most catched me is that burned out is maybe a matter of the mind, but this is caused by physical issues. When you are working what you don't like, the system responds with high levels of stress hormones, and those stress hormones will kill you in the end.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in more details and understanding. It's to do with the physical, the physiology, the hormones, possibly how you respond to stress. But it's interesting to see that areas where you will see burnout is in the medical profession, doctors. There's certainly a lot of news stories at the moment coming out of the UK. We're looking at stories in The Independent, The Guardian, the United Kingdom's National Health Service, which provides free health cover to the population, is seemingly the envy of the world, but it has recently seen the first UK doctor strike for 40 years and more to follow later on this month. 54,000 junior doctors feel demoralised, devalued and dejected because of the introduction of new longer working hours and contracts. Put simply, doctors are leaving in their droves, and the NHS currently faces one in five people leaving during their training. Burnt out doctors are making life-threatening mistakes because of overwork and low morale. So kind of echoing what you're saying, in that if their working conditions are not ideal, they're going to feel unhappy about that, feel demoralized about that, and that contributes to this leading to burnout.
Susan, I work as a doctor in the Netherlands as well, which is very comparable with UK. You have to understand that when you work as a doctor, you made a decision in your life that you want to do medical issues for people. But now you do medical issues for insurance companies. There is a load of paperwork what you have to fill in. Also the legal things which you have to take care of. This is a complete organization. I can tell you, for example, I work as a doctor and I see my patients, and I need three people in the administration to do the paperwork. And that is really adding on what you're already doing, which is already exhausting. But that is your passion. As a doctor, you would like to heal patients, and you like to listen to their stories, and you like to make them better. That is your passion. But your passion is not filling all those papers and the enormous pressure from the insurance companies who tells you what to do.
Eye on Health, and talking about burnout and focusing on this very interestingly with Dr. Matzer, who's a neuropsychologist at the German Neuroscience Centre here in Dubai Healthcare City, bringing an absolute wealth of experience in the field of the brain, the cognitive development, has been a pioneer in the field of concussion and sports injury when it comes to head injuries. Last time he was here, we were talking about talent and being gifted. Today, looking at and exploring burnout and how we respond to stress, or as doctors highlighting, isn't always about working long hours. It's about how you feel. Are you in the right job? Are you doing what you're passionate about? Now, we've got a clip here. Let's have a listen to this story from somebody that suffered from burnout.
Some of you might already read on the internet that I have not been doing so well. I'm sick. I'm having what they call a burnout. I have to tell you that things are not going as fast as I was hoping. I'm not recovering that fast. A burnout takes quite a while. And I wanted to tell you a little bit more about this burnout, because some of you might not really know what it is. Some thought there's maybe something wrong with my voice. You can compare it to having an empty battery. Everybody has its battery. When you sleep or when you do something nice, you charge your battery. And when you work and during the day, you use a little bit of your energy every day. When you do not charge your battery enough, it gets a little more empty every time, a little more, until you hit sort of the red zone of your battery. And that's what happens when you're having a burnout. There's barely any energy left, and that means you get sick. That means you get tired of the smallest things, and it also means it takes quite a while for it to charge again. That's what's happening now, and every time I do a little bit too much, I become a little bit too tired, and that makes it even longer. That makes this period of being sick, having this burnout, even longer. I know you can't really see that I'm sick. This good layer of makeup is making me look very healthy, and I can do nice things. I can do a little bit more every day, a little bit more. But for now, it's all about charging the battery, and it's going to take a little longer.
Talking about the battery being low or needing recharging. Now, that was a message from singer-songwriter Floor Jansen, who's the founder of the Dutch progressive metal band Revamp, hence the music playing in the background. Now, Dr. Matza, does that sound familiar, what she was talking about, how she was feeling and some of those symptoms?
I think that we have to understand that a burnout is a disbalance in your hormonal system. We have a thermostat in our head which regulates everything, and with too much, it's very simple to understand when there's too much viruses, too much bacteria, too much heat, too much cold, then the system goes on. And the system, the hypothalamus, connects with the pituitary gland, and then it secretes a kind of precursor hormone. This precursor hormone travels through the body and comes to the kidneys. And the kidneys produce a higher level of cortisol. And cortisol, when you have a higher level of cortisol, it immediately drops the performance of your memory system. And it takes a lot of energy out of your body. The second hormone, which is secreted by the kidneys, is adrenaline. Adrenaline immediately decreases your attention span. And it takes away a lot of energy out of your system. And it increases muscle tension. So you can understand that when you do this too long, that you get a combination of complaints just by the hormonal disbalance. First, you have problems with your thinking, memory, concentration goes down. Second, you're lacking all the energy, because the energy is sucked out of the system, and you get muscle aches, which are a kind of flu-like symptoms. So actually it's the combination, which can be explained for almost 95%, is pure physical. For example, this is not only by mental issues, but I worked also with athletes, and when you train too much, you are doing too much. When you have too much emotions, the same system goes working. And so actually being overtrained physically or being overtrained mentally in the mind, it's actually the same structure which is working.
Fascinating. You mentioned before that this is a relatively new term from the 1970s. It was first used by Herbert Freudenberger in the mid-70s. And since then, you know, lots of scientific models have been developed to understand burnout. Would you say, I mean, we've got the statistics here, 3 to 33% of the total working population in Western countries and the UAE suffer burnout. Is it something that you see on the increase, or is it just having more knowledge and more research in this area?
No, I think it is on the increase. Why? I think that that from the society there is a bigger push, and that social interactions are less valued, and to work in a team, and that you are working more egocentric.
And what does that really mean when you say egocentric?
I think that That working in a group and be covered by rules, and that people take care of each other, it's very important in preventing burnout. Also, people have to learn, while you say the numbers of 3 to 30%, that means that 1/3 of a company is tired, is too tired to work. And it is not the tiredness what you have after wood chopping or after running. Then you can sleep. But it is the combination that you are pondering with negative thoughts. So when you are overstressed and when you are too long fatigued, then another system goes down. That is the serotonin level in your brain. Serotonin is needed to have a good information processing. And what happens when it goes down? Your thoughts get negative, and you cannot stop your thoughts. So overall, there is a change of body systems, as well in the neurological system, as well in the physical system, which makes this so hard to understand at first view.
We'll pick up the conversation when we come back and find out, you know, recognizing the signs early, but also how to manage burnout if it's coming your way, if that's what you're going through, and what the long-term health ramifications might be if you suffer burnout. So stay with us. Dr. Matza, neuropsychologist at the German Neuroscience Center, based here at Dubai Healthcare City. Just one of the areas he helps people with. And interesting, we use that word very freely, stress, and we say burnout, but to understand what's actually happening to the body physically or within the brain. And you've been describing that to us, doctor. Just to come back on one of the messages coming, in fact, a couple of messages in to share with you. Jerry's asking, how does this relate, or if at all, to PTSS?
PTSS is actually a memory disturbance. Your memory system is loaded with too much emotional information, so it doesn't stop working. So, but this is a negative thought. You saw something terrible, or you experienced something terrible, which pops up in your mind all the time.
So is this post-traumatic stress?
It's post-traumatic stress syndrome. When stress pops up all the time in your mind, it goes to the too much, what I explained earlier, and then you get, for example, the same hormonal response, which takes away the energy, which creates a lot of physical symptoms, and also you have memory problems. So one thing you can remember very good, the bad thing, and the other things which are good, you can remember very bad. So actually it is a system where the memory system with negative information is overloaded, which is creating a constant stressor.
Someone else here is saying, my husband wakes up really early, about 4 a.m. and thinks about work, life, etc. He can't get back to sleep. He just thinks that this is normal, a part of getting older. But could it be hormones for him?
I think that that after 25 years of working, Susan, I think that life is a very complex game. When you think too much of your work, you think too much of one part particularly. I think we are social creatures, and going along with each other, having fun with each other, enjoying nature is also a part which should be incorporated in your life. Having good feelings about what you like. If you think too much about your work, it gives me the impression that it is not fluent. You have to go to your work. It should be a fluent process. You should like it. Of course, there are some disturbances in what you do.
But what about if you love your work, hence why you think about it a lot? You know, you're doing a good job, and you've got a lot of ideas, and you're wanting to improve it and keep doing a good job.
Susan, I think that that you should think about the content and how you think about your work. For example, when you say to me, Eric, I will give you a Ferrari tomorrow, I think, okay, I will think a lot about it, but it is a positive emotion. I will think, hey, Susan, will it be a yellow one, or would it be the leather? And you know, I can sleep very well about it. I will be excited, and it gives me energy. But when I have a negative content in my thoughts about what should I do tomorrow in my work, what should my colleagues, I have to do too much. You know, with this, you are ready for the knockout. And so it is the content about how you relate to the things you are doing. And if you are too specific for one thing, for example, people have to understand that work is work. And even if you have a big company, you should also have other things which make you thrive, which make you develop. And you can even develop yourself when you're 96, and it is a continuous process. Some people forget that.
Yeah, and I guess what you're saying is that if you're thinking about it at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's a red flag to suggest that something's not quite right.
Yes.
Yeah, there are times to be thinking about work and being productive, and not at 4 o'clock in the morning when you should be sleeping and your body needs to sleep. So managing it, preventing it, or indeed if you go into a full, or if you call it that, a full-blown burnt out state as a human being, how do you treat it?
It is complex, Susan. It is not that you say, I can deal with this in 3 talks with a psychotherapist. Let's look at entrepreneurs. you make a decision in your life that you will not go in the box, but you are having a personality, you have a motivational status in which you make the decision, I go out of the box and I go to do something in the world. When you are in the box, you are guided by 9 to 5. There are a lot of rules who protect you from overworking. But when you go out of the box, you have also a kind of mentality. Most of those people want to have control over themselves and over their environment. Most of the people are very analytical. They can take a punch. They have a big bounce back system. And they think out of the box. Can you imagine when you put this energy in the world, it is not fluent, you will have a lot of resistance. And because you can take the blows, you are at the risk for that you lose too much energy. The other thing is, for example, when you are okay with doing a job and you are okay with 9 to 5, then when you come to the job, there is lack of social support. Actually, after 3 years, you've seen it. You have not the motivation to change your life. So for this entrepreneur, it is this story. And for this people who work in regular job, it's that story. And so that made my job so unique. For everyone, there's a unique process what made them to hit the wall and that they developed a clear burnout.
And underlying all of that is this idea that you're not actually doing what you really want to do or what you really truly are passionate about or really like. So being able to identify that. But if your body is physically responding to burnout, so you'll have that fatigue, that weariness, that can't be bothered feeling as a consequence of what's happening to you physically, as you described earlier with regards to, you know, the effect on the kidney and the release of certain hormones and how that sort of draining energy. What do you do to recover? I mean, you can psychologically work on that. Is it once you psychologically have worked on that, all the physical symptoms will change?
It is the combination. First you have to tell someone, okay, I understand your complaints. Because most of the people have visited a lot of doctors, neurologists, internal medicine, because something is wrong with me and I'm not feeling okay. You have to think about cancer when people are always tired, right? So when that is ruled out, then they come to me. So we lost another 6 weeks. And then you have to explain that it is a physical sensation, that there's physically something wrong with you and that you can change it. And why there is physically something wrong, because that has to do with your thought pattern. And that's for everyone that's different. Someone is too perfectionistic, wants to do it too good. And underneath that, Susan, people who are perfectionistic are maybe shy, or they are grown up in a society, in a family system where the father or mother was very punishing. So you overreacting things you want to do for others. You want to be nice. But in real life, the picture is different. And so you have to give insight in those processes which make you so vulnerable to do too much. And when you understand that, then you have to make the change. Other people who just work too much because they have a family business to run, you can have a business which is inherited and you have to do it, and you are burned out, and you cannot escape. I understand that. Sometimes you have to do something which you have to do, but then always find a piece of time, a piece of the cake, which you fill in with your own passion. And that passion is mostly in nature, in walking, in social environment, in a TLC environment. And you have to make time for that. A very good friend of mine was the dean of a very well-known university. And when he felt up that he said, okay, now I will go to the pressure cooker level, then nobody could find him for 10 days. You can say, this is impossible for a CEO to do that. But he said, it's my body, and when I'm knocked out, nobody
You're no good to anybody.
Yeah, that's bad for anybody. But then he took his plane. He only has his cycling outfit with one credit card. And he cycled in Mozambique for 10 days. Nobody could find him, only his wife and his children. So this is maybe a ridicule example, but it is an example. And this guy never became burned out. Find your passion. Find what really makes you tick. And that is what you have to learn in life. Find what really makes you tick.
And recognize those pressure points, those points where you might feel yourself changing, responding, reacting, and be able to pull back.
All the people know the picture of Leonardo da Vinci about the body, you know, with the stretched arms. When you have problems in stretching your arms like that and your neck, just do it every day. And when you cannot do it, you have too much stress. It's very easy. When someone lifts your arm and let it fall, it should fall. And when it is stiff, you have too much stress. When your memory is going down, red flag. When you are too tired and you did not wood chopping for 6 hours, red flag. And people have to understand their body and how the mind corresponds with the body and how this interaction can make you really sick, because a burnout is a knockout for your career.
We're touching on earlier about burnout and stress and looking at the medical field, and particularly news coming out of the UK about the alarmingly high rate of junior doctors feeling demoralised, devalued, dejected, and there's lots of reasons for that. Longer working hours, their contracts aren't so good. 54,000 junior doctors reported in one of our reports from The Independent and Guardian newspapers. That's one industry that seems to have high rates of people suffering from burnout. Another study of 500 IT administrators by Opinion Matters, released in April of 2015 across various firms, revealed that 72% of respondents were stressed, 67% considered switching careers, 85% that said their job intruded on their personal life, and 42% said they lost sleep over work. UK's Telegraph reporting that data from the Open University has found that British women, often working long hours as they attempt to rise through the office ranks, found that 3/4 of women are working too hard, 61% of women regularly do overtime, 8% working on extra 40 hours or more every month, a full working week, the result that many are close to burnout. Interestingly, Dr. Matza has been highlighting the fact that it's not always about the hours that you're working, it's about your connection with your work, and are you doing what you truly like and what you're truly passionate about. Mona's text in to say, I'm a doctor. I was so burnt out that I had all these weird symptoms. I thought I had MS. I was crying all day and night. I had an MRI. I had nerve conductions, all normal. All the tests came back normal from the neurology side. I was finally diagnosed with anxiety and burnout.
I think that that is very good that a doctor come in, because she's telling us that from the medical perspective, from the scanning techniques, you cannot see it. And this has nothing to do with the hardware. This is the software. This is a software problem. And this doctor lost her way in her passion. She likes to treat patients. And maybe she's overwhelmed by something. I don't know, because she's just telling her complaints. But I would really like to talk to her about her software, about what are you passionate about in your job, and did you have enough time to be passionate about your job? And that is actually what you have to find out with someone who has those terrible symptoms.
It's also important to highlight, we touched on it, but just to reiterate that, you know, it's natural for a human being to have that flight or fight response, that stress response in certain situations, to have a rise in adrenaline from time to time. But it's how often you're having that response. And if you're never recovering or coming back down from that response, this is where it can build up and create all of the symptoms we've been talking about to do with burnout.
People are trained to go to walk up the mountain, but people are not trained to walk down the mountains. And that is what really belongs to life. It is a complex issue. And that is what we learn people in the program, that you have to relax, but it is not that you have to do yoga all the time, but you have to find something what you really like. And that life is a beautiful issue, it's a beautiful travel, and you have to find it. And you are coached by people in work who wants you to stress on that you have to make money, you have to do this, you have to do that. But also you have to learn people that, of course, you have to do something, you also have to find yourself. And that's what we have lost. And we have a kind of program in which people can relearn themselves. It can be used for prevention, but it also can be used to heal yourself.
So this is the Phoenix program.
Yes, we call it the Phoenix program because it's really you hit the wall, you come from zero, and we try to rebuild you in a very short period. Because when you understand what it is all about, that you understand that when you lost passion, when there is a disconnection with yourself, that it is a software problem, and that it is related to a physical situation which makes you very ill, then people have the power to continue. And then you have to find your own life. What you have to find in our program is your own uniqueness. 100,000 years of DNA is traveled to space and it came into your mother. 100,000 years of DNA traveled to space and came into your father. And boom, here you are. You are a unique individual. And you cannot be pushed in a certain environment where you have to do this, you have to do that. So it's freedom. It's mental freedom. And of course you have to do things, but you have to find it. And you have to stay foolish all your life. And it's very important that anyone understands that there are three questions: why, how, and what. When the why is always the most difficult, and it is related to your passion. How it is that I'm tired, but what can I do to make it better? And when you understand that, you have a very healthy life.
You keep coming back to nature being so important, and it's something that we've certainly reinforced on the show over the years, and not to underestimate that. And it seems very, well, yeah, okay, yeah, what? Go and stand on the beach, go for a walk, go to the park. But really, it's beautifully how you've put it, how we are here, but we are connected to nature. We are part of nature. So we need to be around nature as much as we possibly can. And it's not to be underestimated the positive effects it will have on our wellness, our well-being.
Of course, we do not understand how nature connects with a form of relaxation. But when you do a mountain hike, you always wondered about nature and how everything is fixed together. Also, for example, I always walk the dog in the morning. And in the Netherlands, we have a nice forest. And it gives you, although you are tired physically, you are very, very relaxed mentally. You see the lakes, you see the goose. It gives you something back. And we lost that. We are only going to a period of time in which you have to do something which is related in making money, but which is not related in making yourself relaxed and comfortable.
Being close to nature, climbing a mountain, appreciating what's around us, obviously stretching yourself physically as well, that's good for us physically and emotionally. There's a big part of this which is about charity and giving to the local charity. The significance of that psychologically with regards to what happens to a human being when they have given something rather, yes, than taken something.
I think, Susan, that it is very important to understand that when you have empathy for someone else, that the other one who feels understood, that he becomes better. And that's a very difficult to understand, that when you really understand someone, that the other one is getting better. And that's, of course, the work of Carl Rogers, which was done in the 60s. But it is a breakthrough in how we have to understand that we are a social individual, and that you have to have an social interaction with others to stay fit.
And to stay healthy. Dr. Matzer, neuropsychologist, the German Neuroscience Centre in Dubai Healthcare City. As always, thank you very much for talking to us today.
Thank you.